Good morning, everyone. I will try to describe my message this morning with the mnemonic technique, and that is K-I-S-S. Keep it short and sweet. So my byword will be KISS. Actually, byword means conclusion, doesn't it? So I'm not ready to conclude yet, but at any rate, we have heard a fair amount during this feast about our being kings and priests. And, of course, if we're going to be kings and priests, we're going to have a crown. And I'd like to tell you I already have one. Maybe that calls for a bit of explanation, but we bought some goodies at a store, some toffee that was rather hard, and I was eating it. I love toffee candy. And apparently it dislodged, or at least loosened, a crown I have on my upper right jaw here. And so later on, it didn't come off, but later on I was chewing some gum. And as I'm chewing gum, I feel this clunk come down to the bottom of my mouth. And so I was without a crown, and I couldn't keep from putting my tongue in the hole. You know how that goes. It seems about 10 times as big as it really is when you have a hole in your tooth. And so, thankfully, I was able to get in through my wife's connections. She works for a dental service that has an office in Bend. The headquarters are in Vancouver and Portland, but I was able to get in to Willamette Dental. I do say Willamette properly, too. I was able to get into Willamette Dental yesterday and have the crown replaced. So I have a nice gold crown up here. And I'm going to not chew any toffee on that side. And I haven't chewed any gum since. Well, I will try to keep it short and simple. If I go over a bit, maybe our champion pumpkin shooter can shoot at me. But I'll warn you, I'm going to duck. My subject today is joyful anticipation. How much do we look forward to the kingdom of God? We are observing a feast that pictures Jesus Christ ruling here upon the earth. And we should anticipate this with great delight. There's something I've always appreciated about God's way of life. I began attending church when I was 20, and I always had something to look forward to once I began attending God's church. And I look forward to things very much now. We've heard about the Passover season coming up, and I look forward very much to the Passover season that is going to come some 7 or so months from now. And I look forward to one feast after another. This is our first one here in 3 years. God willing, next year we may go international. I love to travel. Before I get to the main body of my sermon, I want to talk about something that's quite different, though. I want to talk just a little bit about the subject of depression, very briefly. I became interested in this topic when I heard a sermon on it about 30 years ago. So I read quite a bit on it. I read what Christian counselors have to say on it and others as well. And I have a number of books at home. I've written on it a couple of times. And there are a number of things I learned. But one thing that can cause depression is when a person suffers a significant loss, especially if it's something that they are probably never going to ever regain again. And then the other I want to bring out is when a person lacks something to look forward to, a lack of anticipation, something that will bring joy into their life. America is apt to see an increase in depression in future years. Aging of the baby boomers. Statistics show that the suicide rate is higher among the elderly than it is among the population at large. And in addition to this, 70% of the people feel the country is headed in a wrong direction. So this is going to put a trip upon a lot of people. People are depressed because they're out of work. And then in addition to this, Americans have generally believed that the next generation will always have it better, and we don't believe that anymore. Now, we know we will. We'll have it better spiritually because we do have something to look forward to and to anticipate. So these factors are going to take a toll. I'd like to read to you a short segment. This is from a publication called Mental Health Practice, October 2009 edition. It says, depression will be the biggest health burden on society, with more people affected by the condition than any other problem within 20 years. Now, if you've ever been depressed, don't be depressed about it, or feel guilty about it. Depression is due to a chemical imbalance in the brain, and so it's not a sin to be depressed. Diabetes is due to a chemical imbalance. So depression is a physical/mental illness, indeed. Now let's go to the Bible. I want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We read about Solomon. The Jews have believed and do believe that this book should be read during the Feast of Tabernacles. And Solomon had this to say. You know, most of you, pretty much the content of the book, so I won't, to save time, I won't go through any of the preliminary scriptures. But he said, after considering his life and how he had tried everything and it didn't bring happiness and all, he said in verse 17, therefore, I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So he saw nothing in life worth looking forward to. He had no sense of anticipation, except to more of the same. He believed he had done it all, and he couldn't think of anything else to do that was going to bring him happiness. And so, he said, I hated life. When people hate life, oftentimes they start thinking about committing suicide. The reason Solomon had this frame of mind is because he had forgotten God. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. And I'll read verses 1 through 6. It says, King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth and various other gods. Then in verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. What happens when people turn away from God? We heard in Chairman Rhodes' address a few days ago about the chief problem in America is alienation from God. What happens when that occurs? Let me read to you from a book that has a kind of a bizarre title. It's titled The Cambridge Companion to Atheism, edited by Michael Martin, 2007 edition. Concerning suicide rates, religious nations fare better than secular nations. According to the 2003 World Health Organization's report on international male suicide rates, of the top 10 nations with the highest male suicide rates, all but one are strongly irreligious nations with high levels of atheism. Of the bottom 10 nations with the lowest male suicide rates, all are highly religious nations with statistically insignificant levels of organic atheism. So that's what happens oftentimes when people turn away from God. Depression, suicide rate goes up. We looked at Solomon. Let's contrast Solomon to David. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. I'll start reading in verse 7. Deuteronomy 12, verse 7, Feast of Tabernacles scripture. It says, "There you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice." Notice that, rejoice. I hope you're rejoicing here. We are. That's what we're here to do. "In all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you." And then in verse 12, it repeats it, "And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you." So we are here rejoicing at the feast, commanded to do so, and hopefully having a very good time of it. Now, what's so great about the kingdom of God that we should have joyful anticipation? I want to give you 4 points. I'll give you all 4 if I have time. I'm not negative because I didn't have adequate time. I enjoyed the special music very much. In fact, they sang one of the scriptures that I had planned to turn to, so they saved me the time. Here's one thing that's so great about the kingdom of God that we should have joyful anticipation. One is eternal youth. Eternal youth, in a way. Vibrant energy. That's a part of eternal youth. Marvelous ability to do whatever we want, travel where we want, perform any activity that currently maybe we're not able to do. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 5, this is a prophecy for the future. In Isaiah 40, verse 5, it says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, 'Cry out,' and he said, 'What shall I cry?' 'All flesh is grass,' is the response, 'and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.'" So we all fade. I'm in my 60s now. I remember when I was 20, that was how old as I was, as I said, when I started attending church, and I could do a lot of things then that I can't do now. So we make the best of it, don't we? In Isaiah 40, verse 30, dropping down, Isaiah 40, verse 30, notice this, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Quite an experience to look forward to. What will it be like to never be tired? I got up this morning and I was a little bit tired. Had some food and some juice, and my adrenaline began to kick in, and I feel fine now. And I thank God that I am as healthy as I am at my current age. Able to walk, able to run if I choose, which I don't choose to do very often anymore, but able to do it. What will it be like to fly through the air with the greatest of ease, that daring young man on the flying trapeze? What will it be like to experience being a spirit being? When I was younger, I climbed Mount Shasta. I first climbed it in the summer of 1973. That's one of several 14,000 plus peaks in the U.S. It's 14,162, I should know. I struggled up every one of them. And I put my name in the Sierra Club register at the top, and I was very happy to be able to do it. I climbed it again the next year. Climbed it twice, used to climb a lot of other peaks. And my last climb, actually, I first climbed Shasta when I was 29. 29 years later, I did my last significant climb. I was age 58. That was the one you see out over here to the west, South Sister, about 10-5. I, at 58 years of age, made my way up to the top, and it was not easy. But I made it, and I haven't climbed any significant peaks since that time. But in the kingdom of God, I look forward to having limitless, boundless energy and doing whatever I want to do among those things. And, of course, I'm putting it in human terms. We won't be climbing mountains. We'll be ruling mountains. Mountains is a symbol for governments in the Bible. A second thing to look forward to with respect to the kingdom of God and the joyful anticipation that we should have is this: fun and fellowship on the highest level. Now, we're here enjoying fellowship. I've seen old friends here. I could name a lot of you. I look out and I see many faces, not only from the Portland area, but faces that I've seen here. Saw many of you here 3 years ago. And some faces that I haven't seen for a long time. And sometimes it takes a little while to remember the name, but the face I remember, usually. And so it's been very good just being here and seeing old friends as well as making new friends. Fun and fellowship on the highest level. Let's go to John 17. John chapter 17. John 17, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." And notice verse 3. I think this is interesting. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus described eternal life in terms of a relationship with God. We will know God far better than we currently do. We will know Jesus Christ. We will see them face to face. And we will have the wonderful opportunity of being able to have fellowship on the highest level with the living God. 1 John 1:3, I won't turn there. John said, and this is, let me turn there too. I had a little brief memory lapse there. That's one thing that happens when you get up in your 60s too. 1 John 1:3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John had this to say: "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We have fellowship with the Father and Son now, but it's going to be on a much higher level in the kingdom to come. In our fellowship, we will never have to say permanent goodbyes to friends, including those who leave us through death, because we will see them in the resurrection. I pastored in St. Paul for 6 years. Was there for part of the time when Mr. Walker was in Minneapolis North. And we had three churches, two in Minneapolis and one in St. Paul. And there was a man, a big, tall Norwegian, first name was Terry. And the time came when we were going to be transferred away. And so we had our last holy day. Used to all get about 1,100 people together for a holy day there in the Twin Cities area. And it was our last holy day that we were going to observe there in that particular area of the country. And so I was talking with Terry, and he said, won't it be great when someday we will never have to move away permanently or be separated permanently? We can go over to this galaxy and visit old Noel, he said. Or you can go over to this galaxy and visit another person, if indeed that's what God has in mind for us. And it does say, of his government and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. So his kingdom is going to stretch out far beyond this earth. And who knows what the vast reaches of God's kingdom will encompass in that day. We will have, at that time, permanent quality relationships. Wonderful experience of fellowship of a type that we can never attain to in this life. Another thing that we should look forward to with respect to the kingdom of God, that is this: a mind never burdened with fear. Who among us does not have fears? Let's go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death enslaves humanity. The only ones who need not fear death are we, God's people. And of course, even with us, we don't look forward to it, usually. But we know that in our next awakening moment, we will be in the resurrection and be ascended up on high to join with Jesus Christ above the Mount of Olives. Something to look forward to with the greatest zeal. Fear of ill health. And in a way, when you talk about fear of death, it's the fear of ill health that we're talking about, because it's ill health that brings on death in one fashion or another. Some are blessed. They go quickly. I know one lady in the Hood River area who was sitting half propped up against her bed and watching television, and they found her with the remote control in her hand, and she had simply drifted away. And that's a blessed way to go. So not everyone is so blessed as to go in that way. Revelation 21, Revelation 21 talks about the new heaven and the new earth. In verse 1, and it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This, I think, is what was sung. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Marvelous world it will be, the wonderful world tomorrow, as we have heard of. I know you look forward to that. Another thing, another experience that should give us joyful anticipation and looking forward to the kingdom of God is pleasure of the highest order. Matthew 8, verse 11. Pleasure of the highest order. It tells us one thing we're going to do here in the kingdom that I really look forward to. Matthew 8, verse 11. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What's that going to be like? You know, eating together is a key part of closeness and fellowship with others. That's when you can really make good friendships. And there's something about eating together and sharing a meal together that just naturally helps us draw together as people and really appreciate one another and grow to love one another. The marriage supper of the Lamb is spoken of back there in Revelation. Is this in Matthew 8:11 speaking of the marriage supper of the Lamb? Possibly. But that won't be the only time that we'll be able to dine with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As I said, we'll be able to fly through the air beyond the speed of light and appear and fellowship and be wherever we want to be in the twinkling of an eye, or less than that even. You can't begin to elaborate upon the pleasures of being a son of God, but we can try. You know, pleasure from work, pleasure from relationships, the incredible joy simply of existing. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Paul and the other apostles. I'm kind of a Civil War buff. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Robert E. Lee and Abraham Lincoln at the same table. I happened to get in change the other day, a penny I'd never seen before. It's a 2009 minted coin, but it's a new Lincoln's penny. And the last ones had the Lincoln Memorial on the tail side. This has a picture of Abraham Lincoln sitting on a log with an axe at his side, and he's reading a Bible. Abraham Lincoln, at least I assume it's a Bible because he knew his Bible so very well, and Doris Kearns Goodwin called him our only poet president. He had an amazing knowledge of the Bible, and his faith grew as the Civil War tensions and brutalities became worse. And so I'm looking forward to sitting down with these gentlemen, and they'll be at peace. I'm looking forward to sitting down with a man named Don Mularkey. I don't know if you are familiar with the name Don Mularkey or not. He lives in Salem. Perhaps you've heard of the Band of Brothers HBO series. I know probably a lot of you have seen that. Don Mularkey was part of the Screaming Eagles, that was the 101st Airborne unit that attacked Normandy in June 6, 1944. And Don Mularkey is a survivor of that. And God willing, my wife and I are going to actually have the opportunity to meet him a week from this coming Sunday, because he happened to graduate from Astoria High School in the same graduating class as my father-in-law. So my father-in-law is coming up from Sacramento, and we're going to be able to meet Don Mularkey. What am I going to say to it? My wife asked me that. I said, well, I don't know. But I think I got the answer. I got it on a bumper sticker the other day. I saw a bumper sticker that said, you are free, thank a veteran. And Don Mularkey spent more days in continuous combat than any other soldier of Easy Company. And, of course, it was very grueling and very difficult. And he relates it in a book called Easy Company Soldier, which I've read. When we think of eternal life, we tend to think of what we enjoy now, because that's all we've ever known. But the important key to remember is whatever God has in store for us, it will be far superior to anything in this life. Think of the greatest pleasure you've ever enjoyed, the finest meal you've ever enjoyed, the finest company you've ever had. The best job that you've ever had. Hopefully you have a job that you enjoy. I do. I'm very blessed in that way. I wasn't always blessed in that way. I worked as a common laborer before I went to Ambassador College. And I worked and earned my keep by the sweat of my brow and the calluses on my knuckles. Let's go to Psalm 16:11. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It is a messianic psalm, Psalm 16:11. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, never ending. Echoing into the incredible future of eternity. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. This is a messianic psalm, as I said, so it's speaking of Jesus Christ, who is at the Father's right hand, and it was a prophecy regarding his coming and his being buried and all that, and then his reference to his resurrection, which talks about him being at the Father's right hand, but it also applies to us, because back there in that parable in the Gospels, it talks about the goats being on the left hand and the sheep being on the right hand. So we're going to be on the right hand of Jesus Christ and the Father, enjoying pleasures forevermore too. How wonderful that will be. So enjoy this feast. What's left of it. And I hope you have enjoyed it to this point, and I hope you really continue to enjoy it, and I do believe that you will earnestly look forward to another feast next year, wherever you may keep it. Someday in Jerusalem, that's something the Jews say. They say regarding, I think it's the Passover, next year in Jerusalem. Well, we'll keep a feast in Jerusalem someday. I want to close with Romans 8:19. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Romans chapter 8. And verse 19, let's start in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We've heard that scripture already at this feast. I think that was in Mr. Luker's delivery. Then in verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Earnest expectation. The Greek here is interesting. It literally means to watch with outstretched neck. Earnest expectation. Are you watching with outstretched neck? I've got a book at home about God, pro. The author believes in the existence of God. And it has on the cover, it has a hand, obviously intended to be the hand of God. So the time will come when God will welcome us into his kingdom. And we will be reaching forward with outstretched neck, anticipating the greatest and most marvelous experience that anyone could ever experience. And we will reign with the Father and with the Son throughout all the vastness of eternity.